presence of God. For the last 3 weeks, I have been overwhelmed with the presence of God. And understanding and in attempting to understand the significance of the presence of God in my own personal life. And the challenge that I have today is to inspire you to attempt to understand the presence of a holy God that would live in unholy people. The only reason that we are holy is because God is holy. We are, the scripture says, the sanctuary for God. The Spirit of God lives and dwells in you. The sons and the daughters of the living God, He has chosen because He always wanted to be with you. He created you so that He could be with you. God with us. I studied in the Old Testament everything that they had to go through in order to get in the presence of a holy God. You remember the people in the desert after God freed them from being in slavery. He brought them into the desert. I don't know if anybody here has ever been in the desert. God says, I want my dwelling to be with them. And so they created a temple. God told them what to do, and His presence went with them. They had to prepare a place for God's presence. Things have not changed that much, but there was a big change when Jesus came. But now we prepare a place for God to sanctuary. He doesn't dwell in temples made by man's hands. As we walk and live and move and breathe, God lives and moves and breathes in us and through us. Because His plan was always to be. It was always to be with us. God with us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. In order to prepare to be a sanctuary, they had to go to the altar. And the sacrifice was made at the altar, a blood sacrifice. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission for sin. They had to prepare themselves. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. That's where the desert takes you. You get tried in the desert. with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. Listen to this part. God with us, he's revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. When we realized that really God made and created us so that we could be in his presence, sometimes sacrifices have to be made. In case you didn't know it, we don't deserve to be in his presence. It's a privilege to be in his presence. What we felt this morning is a privilege. We don't have his presence because we deserve it. It's because we genuinely need to be. I feel a need to be in his presence. When I get up in the morning, I've got to intentionally make a sacrifice and actually lay myself on the altar and say, God, I give this day to you. I give myself to you. It's not about what I want, but it's about what you want, because we are not our own. We've been bought with a price because he paid the price. We don't have to lay our bodies down as a sacrifice, but Paul said, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not we, but God that lives in us. Boo! I don't know how you sit so still when I'm telling you something so good. God wants to live in us. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. Everybody say, I am sacred. I am sacred. You together are that temple. Many times in our lives, in the realm of what we see, we live in the realm of what we see and what we understand and what we comprehend. This morning, my goal is for you to open up your thinking and to understand that God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other God can do. The little G-O-D. There are little G-O-Ds all over the place. But there's only one big G-O-D, and that's the God, one God who can do everything because he specializes in things thought impossible. And I just want to challenge your thinking to understand that to comprehend God is something that you will always be challenged with. We went up to Colorado, and we went up into the mountains. 3 days ago, I had two coats on. So cool, literally. So cool. We were sitting in a little Cub Cadet, and it had a a roof over it, no sides on it, but had the roof over it, and it was raining hard. We went with some friends of ours, and just come out of my mouth, I said, Lord, because there were some beautiful streams. I love to fish for those little fish, little trout, and then brookies in the mountain streams that are about that wide. It's just beautiful. It was a perfect spot. And I'm sitting in this Cub Cadet while rain's coming down, and them fish, there's fish in there that need to be caught, and they need to be ate. Whoever made this stuff up about catch and release, I don't know where that come from. We catch them and we eat them at our house. Catch and release, whatever. It just come out of my mouth. I said, Lord, if you could just stop this rain just for a little while. I know you've done it before, and I know you can do it again. We'd like to go fishing. You know what happened? It quit raining. And we went fishing. And we caught fish. The only problem was that Darla caught more fish than I did. We're so thankful. 2 or 3 hours, got back in that Cub Cadet. And you know what happened then? Started raining again. Hey, God can do what nobody else can do. He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Why would you even try to do for yourself things that God wants to do for you? Sometimes we need to participate, but he'll let you know when he needs your help. Later on, down after chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it gets down into chapter 6, and it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Your body is a member of Christ himself. Shall I then take this member of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever, everybody say whoever. Whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. When you unite yourself with the Lord, you are one with him. Either you will unite yourself with a prostitute symbolically with somebody else or something else that will draw you away from God, or you will unite yourself with God. And when you unite yourself with God, you are one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. And everybody said. Amen. It's kind of rampant in our world today. Did you know that we, in a lot of places in the world today, sexual immorality is rampant. And it's not popular to say that you have to get married before you have sex. You got quiet. We don't talk about sex much around here. Well, I love her, though, and because we're going to get married. Well, when you get married, you can have sex, but don't be doing it before you get married. There was a few amens. I don't think it was unanimous, but there was a lot of amens out there. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? So if you are a born-again believer and you are one with Christ, you are united with Christ, and you have your spirit is connected with God's spirit, when you sin sexually, just know that God is there with you. No need to elaborate. Your Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I hear people all the time, they say they just want to have fun. I just want to have fun in life. I want to have fun. Well, we got up on that mountain. We went, Darla and I went to Pikes Peak. And the vegetation quits growing after you get above timberline. It's because the oxygen is very thin up there, and it's not enough oxygen for trees to grow. The view is really good, though. And I don't know if you've ever been on Pikes Peak, but it's scary going up there because it's scary. But the view's great. But not much grows. If all you want to do in life is have fun, you will wind up being disappointed with life. Because the place where things grow is in the valley where the water is. And when you embrace the valley, God will take you to the mountain. But don't run from the valley. Amen. That wasn't in my notes, but that's for somebody here. So I'm just not having fun. Well, grow where you are so you can get where you want to be. God, the Holy Spirit, actually lives and resides in us. We are actual temples. I don't have time to get into it, but there is, every one of us are made up of our spirit, our soul, and our body. The spirit that is in an individual is what unites you with Christ. The scripture says that when we are in Christ, we are alive in Christ, and our spirit is alive. Our spirit, we are spiritually dead without Christ. There's a lot of imitation in our world today. They say they are spiritually people. You cannot be alive spiritually unless you have Christ in you, because he is the only one that can ignite and give birth to the eternal life in you because of the Spirit of God. The soul of a person, this is kind of tough to understand, but the soul of the spirit is connected with the body, and the body is connected with the flesh. And the soul is the part that is also connected to the spirit. The Bible says that the word of God, the scriptural, the written word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and divides bone and marrow, soul and spirit. So the soul and the spirit can be separated. You'll never be alive in Christ, and your spirit will never be alive unless Christ lives in you. The soul is connected to the body. The Bible says that whenever we die, that our soul goes to heaven and our body stays here. It's kind of like somebody said one time, it's kind of like the shell of a nut. The shell is still here. Our body is still here, but the real nut went to heaven. You'll not forget that. So the challenge is to be connected with God, and to that our soul becomes one with our spirit as it is one with Christ. And then our body. Anybody ever have a problem with sin before? Oh, everybody raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, you really got a problem with sin. Because we've all sinned. And everybody that sinned said, so the sin in us is what separates us from God. And that's the reason the Bible says that we have to be crucified with Christ. Because what we do, we crucify the flesh. And our flesh doesn't rule over us. But the spirit that lives in us rules us. And we have to take our mind under subjection. And we have to submit it to the word of God. Because the Bible says, be filled with the spirit. And if you're not full of the Spirit, you're full of something else. That awkward pause there is important. If we could put the tabernacle up here, I've got to move on. This is the tabernacle in the Old Testament times after God redeemed the children of Israel from slavery. He took them to the desert. And when they were in the desert, God said that he wanted to be with them. There's scripture that talks about, it says, Exodus 25:8, it says, make a sanctuary for me and I will dwell among them. Then in Exodus 25, it says, then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am their God who brought them out of Egypt or out of slavery so that I might dwell among them. When God dwells in you, you are not in slavery, but when sin rules over you, you are in the prison of sin. That's why they have so many addictions out there, and sin will bring addiction to you. And what addiction does, if anything has rule over you, God doesn't have rule over you. If you're addicted to something, God's not in it. Might want to check that dip at the door. Woo! Well, step on a toe there, didn't I? Cowboy church, wow. So we have to sacrifice. Man, I've been on vacation. I'm not running from anything, but I'm not running for anything either. If you'll notice, there's only one way to get into the presence of God. There's a gate there. It's a 30-foot gate. And you can walk into there, but there's not a lot of doors that will get you into the presence of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The reason that we come to the Father through Jesus is because he sacrificed his life there on the brazen altar where the sacrifices would make. And what happened would they would bring the animal, the ox, or they would bring the sheep or the goat, and they would lay their hands on the sacrifice, thus symbolizing transferring their sins to the sacrifice. And then they would slaughter the animal, and they would put the animal on the fire, and they would burn the sacrifice, symbolically burning the sin of that individual. Then you had to get cleaned up, wash up. Then you get into the holy place, the outer court, the holy place. The holy place had the table of showbread. When we have communion, we'll have communion next week, by the way. And when we have communion, what we're doing, we're celebrating our communion with God. And the table of showbread is so significant that God wants to have communion with people. He always wants to be with us. Then they have the candlesticks where the oil would continually run through the candlesticks. And the job of the priest was to make sure that the oil never ran out, because they wanted the light to always shine in the holy place. I said they wanted the light to always shine in the holy place. If you are the sanctuary, God doesn't want your light to go out. He wants the oil of the Holy Spirit to flow through you so that you can be a light, that you are the light of the world. In a city that's set on the hill cannot be hidden. Amen. You are the light of the world. God has no other plan for evangelism of this world except you. Woo! Leave it up. Then you get to the holies of holies. And in the holies of holies, before you could get there, there was a curtain. Many, like 12 curtains. And when the high priest, listen to me, one time a year, the high priest would go in. He would cleanse and purify himself. The garments would be pure and clean. There was things that he had to do, purification process. And he would purify himself. And he would walk into the holies of holies. They would tie a rope around his ankle with a bell on it. The reason they would do that, because nobody could come into the presence of a holy God if they were impure. And if the high priest had not done everything exactly perfectly, God would strike him dead. Because you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. The high priest did not deserve to be in the presence of God. He had to be purified and holy in order to be in the presence of a holy God. Now, I can read some of y'all's mind. You're thinking, I can't believe God would strike him dead. Well, you're not God. You don't make the rules. You are the creation, not the creator. Just saying. So the priest would go into the holies of holies and he'd offer sacrifices once a year for the sins of the nation. Do you know what the people, 2 million people, you know what they would do? They would all stand outside the tabernacle and they would wait. As long as they heard the bell ring and they knew that the high priest was still alive. And when he would walk out, they knew that their sins had been atoned for. And God lets you come into his presence every day. In fact, he set up his tabernacle in you. How could that be? This is how it could be. When Jesus was crucified, they took him outside of the city gates. They took him to the outer courts. Oh, by the way, when you burn animals, I don't know if anybody here ever brand a cow. Stinks, doesn't it? Can you imagine how bad that stunk? Your sins stink. Don't be mothering up to your sins. They stink. You've just got used to the smell. Anybody ever spill milk in your car on a hot day? Woo! He took Jesus outside the city gates, and there he died with the thieves and the murderers. He died like a thief, and he died like a murderer. The scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin. He took on Randy Weaver's sin. He took on your sin. And he died as a thief and as a murderer. And he died alone. Even those that had been following him forsook him, many of them. You say, well, I just don't understand. The scripture says, and I don't know this. I was thinking about this morning, and I might be off base on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Somebody made a law. It was either Newton or one of them other guys. But it said, for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Anybody smart? Tell me who that was. Newton? I guess I'm smart. But for your sin, there had to be a reaction. There has to be atonement for your action. That's the only way I know how to explain this to you. Is because I sin, because you sin, there has to be another action to forgive you of your sin. And this is what Jesus understood. This is what God understood. And you couldn't come into his presence And then when Jesus came, the veil of that temple, that 12 thick veil of that temple was tore in two, releasing the presence of God, allowing God to live in you because of Jesus. I think it's interesting that we have to beg people to love God. Yes. That we have to ask people, oh, you need to read your Bible. Please read your Bible. Please spend time in prayer. Please spend a lot of time in prayer, because that's who do we think we are? And then we go, well, I just don't have time to pray. I don't have time to get in the Bible because, man, I'm just so busy. Well, everybody has the same amount of time. I want to say that one more time. I think it needs to be said. Let me run back here and say it. Everybody has the same amount of time. I like coming back. I can see y'all. They hate it on TV, but I love it. Everybody has the same. And see, we say, well, I don't have time. Well, who makes your time? Either you run your life or somebody's going to run your life for you. Are you letting other people run your life for you that you don't have time to spend with the holy God, to get into his presence? My only goal today is to inspire you to realize that it's a privilege to be in the presence of a holy God. And as you walk and as you live and as you move, his presence lives and walks and moves in you. And where you go, God goes with you. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking. You remember that one? Looking down in love. So be careful what you do. We went to Angola prison a few years back. And they had a guy that was, there was the warden there had a house there. And there was a couple of trustees that were working there. In Angola, very, very few people ever leave Angola alive. They have their own cemetery there. It's just because most of the people there are there for life with no parole. And the one guy, Darla and I, just a sweet guy, just loved him, but I think he murdered somebody. He would never leave Angola. Did you know that you can be in prison and free, or you can be free and still be in prison? The things that drag us down, the addictions that drag us down, the things that have a hold of us instead of us having a hold of them, those things can tear us up and separate us from a holy God. You say, well, preacher, you're just telling me I don't need to be sinning anymore? Well, the only reason that God calls sin sin is because it's bad for you. If that's a little deep for somebody, I'll repeat it again. The only reason God doesn't want you to sin is just bad for you. And he, as our Heavenly Father, wants everything that's best for us. I could stay here and preach all day, but, well, I probably am, but we need to move on. The privilege of his presence, God's tabernacle. Jesus came down as a tabernacle, to tabernacle with his people. God came down in the Old Testament to tabernacle with his people. The Holy Spirit came down, and he lives and breathes and moves in each and every one of us. And it's a privilege. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We praise you and we worship you. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. If you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, the scripture says that we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says if we confess our sin, that he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you've never invited him to come into your heart, I just invite you simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I don't want to walk out of these doors not knowing where I'm going to spend eternity. Slip your hand up high. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? So I have to ask you a question, and I'll just be real honest with you. I don't know how to ask this question without being very, very blunt. Is it okay? Can I be blunt for a second? Amen. Can I get permission? This morning, if you're kind of a hard head, and you say, I just want to do things my way, and you know I believe in God, but there's some things in there I'm just not buying into, and I just think that, you know, I just think my way is pretty good, and sometimes I just use it. I say my way or the highway. God wants to humble you, and he wants to humble me, because only humble people are teachable people. If you want everything that God has for you, you're going to have to lose the chip. You're going to have to submit to God and say, God, I want everything that you have for me. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something it might embarrass you. And if you're thinking about you, you won't raise your hand. But if you're thinking about God, you're going to go ahead and raise your hand. How many say, preacher, I got some things in my life that I reserve for myself. I have said, I want, maybe not said out loud, but said, some is good for me, but not all. God wants you as to sacrifice your life by saying, God, I will give up my will for you because I love you. How many will say, preacher, those that haven't given up your will yet, say, preacher, I'm willing to give up my will. Raise your hand. Yeah. Oh, thank you. God bless y'all. You know, that's victory. That's victory right there. Don't you know God's looking down at you, or he's inside of you, smiling and saying, thank you. Can I pray for you? We have our prayer team up here if you need special prayer. We'd love to have you. That's why we're here. Let me pray for you. If you raise your hand, raise both hands up if you can. And those that didn't raise your hand, you can raise your hand too and pray for those that raise their hands. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Lord, through this entire morning, we have felt your presence. We don't take that for granted or even would suppose that we even deserve it by any sense of the imagination. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, because you love us. You did what you did. Lord, help us to love you and do what we do and to submit our ways, not just by raising our hand, not just by making a declaration, but Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would help each and every one of us that have our hands up to follow through with what you've asked us to follow through with, and we give ourselves. And we thank you, Lord, that you have prepared us to be a sanctuary. And may we prepare ourselves every moment of every day when we get up in the morning, that we would take time to acknowledge your presence in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you. So glad you're here.